It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Let me encourage you to have your Bible ready each time we gather our hearts together for It's a Good Life program. And that's what this is, a good life. And today we're going to look in Philippians chapter 1. Now, Paul was living in the very foothills of heaven as we read these scriptures. And as he wrote this, and we really need to understand that within a couple of years, Paul would go home to be with the Lord. Whether he understood this or not when he was writing the book of Philippians, whether the Lord had imparted this to him, I don't know. But within a couple of years, he would go home to be with the Lord, and he would be sacrificed, and he would have his head cut off. Well, here in this section of Scripture, we see a real conflict in Paul's heart. The desire to depart from this present life and to be with Christ, he says, which is far better, according to verse 23. And he also saw the need to remain with much unfinished business that was calling for his attention. Now, if you have your Bible, and if you're driving or whatever, and you don't have your Bible, please listen as we go through these scriptures. And I would suggest that if at all possible to have your Bible, I always encourage you to have your Bible to follow along, whether you're listening to me as a preacher or anyone else, to follow along and make sure that that person is following the scriptures that God has given us. Well, in verse 21 of Philippians chapter 1, it says this, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In other words, whether or not I live or die, Paul's saying here, it's all right with me because any way it goes, I'm a winner. And verse 22 goes on to say, "But if I live in the flesh, the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not." Well, in verse 23, he goes on to say, "For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Well, he goes on in verse 24 and says this, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Well, he indicates here a happy escape from this dilemma and exclaims, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Prison or paradise for Paul, either alternative, if approved by God, is profitable. You see, both are covered by adequate assurances revealed in the context that we're reading here, and we need to look at that today as we study. First, it would appear Paul is saying to remain is profitable. He says, "For me to live is Christ." Well, Paul says that in verse 21. To live is to serve the cause of Christ. My life today is an extension of the life of Christ, he would be saying, or he is saying here. I am to be, I am put forth in what I do so that other people can see the things I do as a representative of Christ. Paul says to live is to serve the cause of Christ. My life is an extension of the life of Christ, he's saying. Now, according to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "Christ liveth in me." And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice." And this seems to be what Paul was doing ever since he had trusted Christ as his Savior. You see, Christ gave his body. He doesn't ask us to lay our lives down. And some will, and some have laid their bodies down and given their lives for Christ just as Paul did. And we know that as we study the life of Paul, how he gave his life for the cause of Christ eventually. But Christ today asks us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He wants us to be alive so that we can serve him and help other people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 says this, "Ye are the temple of God." You see, we are the temple. We are not going about just making believe that Christ lives in us and that we are the temple of God, but we do have Christ living within us. It's not an imitation. My life is a participation in the life of Christ, not just an imitation. John chapter 15 and verse 5, it says this, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. Jesus is the vine. We, as saved people, are the branches. We are alive because of Jesus Christ. Well, to live is not only to serve the cause of Christ, but to live is to serve Christ's people. Paul knew this. It's to the furtherance of their faith. Paul says in verse 25 of Philippians chapter 1, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith." He was living to the furtherance of their faith. In other words, when people see us, as they saw Paul, they become encouraged and their faith grows stronger. Now, we know that by reading the Word of God, our faith grows, but as we look to other Christians, we draw strength from them. And it helps us to understand that we need to keep on keeping on. Well, it was also according to Paul in these verses that we've studied and we're looking at today and other scriptures that he's written, we see that he believes to increase, in other words, he wanted to increase their joy. And as he would go home to be with the Lord, what a homecoming it would be. And what a homecoming it's going to be one day when we see Jesus face to face. And we see those people who have gone on before us. Those people who have been an influence on our lives. What a homecoming it's going to be and what joy it's going to be. There's joy today when we look to those people who have helped us in the past. Those people who have helped us to understand that we need Jesus Christ in our life. And what a joy it is to know that people look to us as saved people to bring joy to their life, help them to know the joy of Jesus Christ. Well, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 26 says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. When we visit those individuals who have been prominent in our Christian lives, what a blessing it is, not only to us, but it is a blessing to them that we are keeping on, that we are serving the Lord. Well, Paul gives the indication to live is to prolong the privilege of witnessing and suffering for Christ. And in verse 29, Paul speaks of suffering for Christ as a gift. Verse 29 says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Once again, all of us will not give our lives for the Lord. We will not all suffer to the extent that Paul did, but some will and some have. And you see, some do today, some suffer for the cause of Christ. But Paul speaks of suffering for Christ as a gift. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, it talks about Peter and his brethren. They were brutally beaten, but the result was that they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Could I do that? I don't know. I won't know until or unless I am faced with that. But praise God, I can look back to the testimony of these New Testament and Old Testament saints as they gave their lives and their bodies to the back of the smiters, those who whipped them with the whips. And I can look to those people today who are suffering for the cause of Christ. And I can only pray that I would be as strong as they are, and they were in the life of Christ. In another instance, Paul declares this, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." Well, a crippled newsboy, let me go back and tell you where I just read from. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10 says that, what I just read. "Therefore," he says, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." Well, you see, there was a crippled newsboy in the spirit of Christmas. He decorated his crutches with holly leaves. And as he happily made his rounds on his decorated crutches, he evidenced the joy. In other words, he gave forth that evidence of joy. He showed a joy that would and could not give, or he couldn't advertise circumstances, and the circumstances could not take away the joy. Now, such was the spirit of Paul under persecution. No matter what happened, his joy was full because he was serving Christ, just as that crippled newsboy was happy to be able to show the blessings that God had placed on him. Even as a crippled newsboy, he rejoiced in the Lord. No matter what happened to Paul, his joy was full because he was serving Christ. He says in verse 21, to depart is profitable. This is once again in our text in Philippians chapter 1. No matter what happened, his joy would be full because he was serving Christ. In other words, to die is gain. Not that death would be an easy way out of a hard situation. Paul was not one to take the line of least resistance. In Acts chapter 24 and verses 5 and verses 14 through 16 and verse 25, talk about this. He didn't take the easy way out. Well, we also see that Paul was not talking or taking the morbid view of one who is weary, disillusioned, discouraged, and ready to quit. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Keep on going. Keep on keeping on, he's saying. He didn't take the morbid view of one who is weary, disillusioned, and discouraged, and ready to quit. Then we see, not as death was an end of life, but an incident along the way of everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Well, then we are assured that death does not end all. Neither does it bring an uncommitted life to a happy ending. And I've been called upon in the past as a pastor from time to time to preach funerals of people who were not saved. On occasion, the family has asked for songs of faith, such as "Beautiful Isle of Somewhere." But there is no beautiful Isle of Somewhere from which God has been left out. It's not that death is a punishment, but as the opening of the door unto God's great upper room that Paul is looking at in our section of Scripture here. But for those who have never trusted Jesus as Savior, that door is not there. The door that was, and before they went into the next life, before they went to meet the Lord, they will meet the Lord one day. It says, "Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord." Those people who have never trusted Him will do that. Well, the door that is waiting for them right now is Jesus Himself. He says, "I am the door." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if you want to go to that beautiful Isle of Somewhere today and someday, you need to trust Jesus Christ today. Have you done that? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have, then when that beautiful Isle of Somewhere hymn is sung, then we will rejoice because you are in that beautiful Isle of Somewhere, and that somewhere is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord help you as you serve Him, and may the Lord help you if you've never trusted Him as Savior to receive Him today as your Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.